Going to be in the season of Epiphany. And so today, as we look at the lesson, I would like to look at it as an eye, through the eyes of this being the season of Epiphany. And this being one of Peter's many Epiphany experiences with Christ. This is one time in which things come into focus for just a second. And the revelation of just who Jesus is driven just a close, little bit closer home for Peter. Luke is certainly a wonderful storyteller, and he is the gospel writer who loves to tell the story. He loves to give us those details, those events and happenings, to paint the scene, and to give us time to ponder the details. In other Gospels, when you hear about the call of James and John and Peter, Jesus seems to just come along the seashore out of the blue and say, "Follow me." And they drop everything and they follow. But Luke paints a little broader picture. He paints with a little more detail. And he lets us know this is not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. In fact, Peter has been encountering Jesus for some time by this point. Jesus has been preaching throughout the region of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret, depending on which gospel writer for which name they use. He has been doing many miracles, healing many people. He's attracted quite a crowd, as we can see in today's story, that he's being followed and pressed in by a huge crowd that is wanting to hear the Word of God. So much so, he steps into Peter's boat to get a little more distance and have a little bit better opportunity to be heard and to teach. This is not the first time that Jesus has stepped into Peter's world. Jesus has already been to Peter's house, where he healed Peter's mother-in-law of a high fever. And she rose up and she served them. And it was at Peter's house that Jesus taught and healed. Peter seems aware that Jesus is a great teacher, a master. And in fact, when Jesus asks to, well, he doesn't even really ask to use his boat, he just kind of steps in and assumes that it's going to be okay. There seems to already be some kind of relationship here, some kind of knowledge, familiarity. Peter calls Jesus master, and he's willing to obey his directions. But yet I do wonder, what was really going on in Peter's mind that day as Jesus came along the seashore teaching, the crowds surrounding him? Peter certainly does not drop everything. In fact, he's busy washing and probably mending the nets from last night's fishing expedition. It wasn't a very productive fishing expedition. In fact, Peter says they caught nothing. While the crowd listens, Peter works. And then, after Jesus has finished teaching, he says to Peter, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon, as he's known at this time, it's actually Jesus who gives him the name Peter, meaning the rock. Simon is just his given name. "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing." In fact, the words there tend to suggest that they labored very hard and they travailed against the seas. And yet it amounted to nothing. I wonder if while Jesus was teaching, Peter was thinking, well, you know, that's all well and good, but it doesn't fill my stomach. Or perhaps, that's all well and good, but what does that have to do with real life? What does that have to do with the jobs we do day in and day out? Making our living, doing our work, mending our nets, caring for our families. Perhaps Peter hadn't been listening much at all. Perhaps he'd been so busy with his labors. But the fishing was done. Fishing was done at night. It was now day. The best fishing time had passed. The nets had been cleaned and the boats put up. And now Jesus comes in and changes everything. Put the boat out a little from the shore so that I can teach. He willingly does it. But then he makes the most bizarre request. At the worst fishing time of the day, where the nets have already been cleaned and are ready to put away, he asks Peter to put into the deep water and to put down the nets for a catch. Simon answers, Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing. Perhaps there's a little irritation in his voice. What does a preacher know about fishing? What does a rabbi know about the seas? Well, obviously nothing, if you're asking us to put down the nets at this time. But there's obviously something else he sees in Jesus because he's obedient. The action doesn't make sense. It's not the pertinent thing to do. It's actually going to mean quite a bit more work because they're going to have to gather up the nets yet again. And for what? It's going to put off his nap for some time, I imagine. I thought of you, Don, when I was reading this. Work's done! It's time to go home and take a nap. I think that's what I would have told Jesus at this time. You know, fine, I've listened to your teaching while I've cleaned the nets, but now it's time for real life. I'm tired. I have to fish again tonight. Let's put the nets up. Let's go home. You want a lesson in fishing? Come on back out tonight. But now it's time for logical people to take a rest. So I'm amazed at Simon's obedience. Master. It's a word of honor. But more than that, he says, yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. Maybe it was just to get him off his back, but it sounds good. And so he lets down the nets, and what happens? The catch they haul in is so huge that it begins to break the nets. He has to call his partners in the other boat to come out and to help. Two boats almost sinking, so full of fish. It's not the first time Peter has seen this man do a miracle. It's not the first time he's seen his power or know him to be a man of authority. And yet somehow, this time, Jesus has gotten through to Peter in a whole new way. Maybe it was the fact that he showed that he even had control over the things that Peter thought he knew best. The sea, the fish, the nets, the boat. All of the things that Peter knew best, knew how to do, could handle on his own. maybe thought religion had no place in. Even there, Jesus has shown his authority, has shown his understanding, has shown the depth of his power. Peter, Simon is amazed. And something happens inside him. Something happens within him. And Jesus is no longer simply master, rabbi, teacher. But he falls at his knees, overwhelmed, and declares him Lord. Lord, he says, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. One of the things that really amazes me about those moments when we realize who God is, it's such a mirror, it's such a reflection, and we catch a glimpse of who we are. And very often we're not as satisfied as we'd like to be. There's Peter, thinking he knew everything about fishing, falling at this man's knees and realizing himself to be nothing. Depart from me. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man. I am amazed also at Jesus' response. He says, do not be afraid, for now you will be catching people. Phil and I were talking some before the service about how often we have this understanding of God, this understanding of Christ, that nothing unholy can be in his presence. And we think that we must have all righteousness to even step forward. And yet here is Peter, fully aware now of something that Jesus has been aware of all along. Jesus has known exactly who he is, exactly what he was thinking, exactly what he is about. It's not news to Jesus that Peter is a sinful man. It's not news to Jesus that Peter doesn't have all the answers. It's not news to Jesus that any of the rest of us are exactly that same way. Jesus knew that when he stepped into Peter's boat and said, set a little out from shore. Jesus knew what was going on in Peter's mind when he chose to say, set out into the deep and drop the net. Jesus knew. The new revelation is not Jesus' knowledge of Peter, but Peter's knowledge of Jesus. We are a lot like Peter. We are not unfamiliar with Jesus. We've heard his teachings for years as we've come to church and studies and read the Bible. We are not unfamiliar with his healing touch in our lives, as he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Many of us have seen our prayers answered, our loved ones cared about. We know him to be a master, a rabbi, a great teacher who knows a great deal about religious things. But what about the rest of our life? What authority, what knowledge, what information, what place does Jesus have in our everyday lives, our lives at work, our lives making ends meet, balancing the checkbook, getting the car fixed? What place does Jesus have in those mundane, needs to be done, real places that life happens? Do we think that Jesus knows about that stuff, understands it, has authority over it, can do something with it? Do we think it has any value to him? Think of the many surveys that they have done where they have interviewed kids and they have said, you know, do you think that God knows about, and they'll list, you know, scientific discoveries, and they'll ask things like, you know, do you think God knows about radar? Do you think God understands how radar works? And amazingly, most of the kids say no. You know, what does God know about radar? I can think Peter sitting there, you know, what does Jesus know about fishing? And perhaps too often in my own life, what does Jesus know about daily living? The mundane, the things at the office, the things with the car, the things with the checkbook. I hope that we find out, like Peter, a great deal. And that we too will know that Jesus is not simply the master of religious things, but the master of all things. And that we cannot simply know him as master, but as Lord of our entire life. Peter makes a very dramatic decision after this. He leaves everything. The boats, the nets, the house, the securities. And he goes with Jesus to do what Jesus has called him to do. Perhaps there are things that as we acknowledge Jesus as Lord of our life, to be able to even do that, there are some things we need to leave behind. Some things we need to put into perspective. Some things we need to give Jesus more fully control of in our life. As we prepare to go to communion this morning, perhaps there are some things that today you can leave behind, and some places that you can acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of in your life.